Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And let's begin this hour by noting that yesterday, we may just have entered a new phase in the war in Syria.
The indiscriminate slaughter of civilians, the killing of women and children and innocent bystanders by chemical weapons is a moral obscenity. By any standard, it is inexcusable, and despite the excuses and equivocations that some have manufactured, it is undeniable.
It wasn't the attack itself that changed the game, believed to be sarin gas used allegedly by the regime on civilians. That attack was last week. It wasn't the Syrians firing on UN inspectors yesterday, attempting to get to the scene of that attack outside Damascus in the suburb of Mu'adamiya. And another attempt to inspect the site has been delayed today, we learn. The new phase, though, may be signaled in this unexpectedly passionate tone from the Secretary of State in his first real crisis moment at the State Department.
President Obama has also been in close touch with leaders of our key allies, and the president will be making an informed decision about how to respond to this indiscriminate use of chemical weapons. But make no mistake, President Obama believes there must be accountability for those who would use the world's most heinous weapons against the world's most vulnerable people.
But that's where the emotional Kerry statement ended. We had been told he would be taking questions in the State Department briefing room yesterday, but he left without making clear what the word accountability meant. We learned this morning that Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel says, at least he told the BBC at a meeting in Brunei of Asian leaders, that the Pentagon is ready to go if called. Joining us is Michael Singh, who served in the National Security Council for 3 years as Senior Director for Middle East Affairs and as Director for Iran, Syria, Egypt, and North Africa. He's now Managing Director at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Michael Singh, welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
So what do you think accountability means? The military always says it's ready to go when called, but it would appear that this would be a limited response in any event.
Well, John, I think the first question with any such overseas military operation needs to be not so much what, but to what end. And that so far is not entirely clear. There's been a bit of strategic incoherence from the administration on Syria. We've heard lots of objectives sort of put out there from the get-go here, for that Assad must go, that we need to support the opposition, that the use of chemical weapons is unacceptable and perhaps a red line. As well as the sort of brutalization of the civilian population is somehow triggering a response. But exactly what we hope to achieve is not clear, and that leads to, I think, a lack of clarity as well as to what we are going to do.
Well, let's leave the military tactics to the tacticians. What do you think the word accountability means? I mean, what accountability can the U.S. enforce on Bashar al-Assad?
Well, I think that the administration is using it here in sort of a narrow sense, that the use of chemical weapons violates an international norm and that must be responded to by the international community, in part to deter the use of chemical weapons in the future by Assad or others. And so it looks like accountability in this case means punishment. It means exacting a price for using these weapons.
I'm just thinking from the perspective of someone in a refugee camp in Turkey right now. That policy, that approach, if that's what the message is at the end of the day, we want to deter you from using chemical weapons, please don't ever do that again, it essentially permits, tacitly or otherwise, the creation of a million refugees already of children in Syria and essentially excuses, am I wrong to say that, the last 2 years of brutality?
Well, I think that there is some truth to that. I think that it's a confusing position that Secretary Kerry took yesterday because he said it's a moral obscenity that these chemical weapons were used. But, of course, there have been over 100,000 people killed, killed through brutal means such as torture. Children have been killed. In fact, it was the torture of children that began this conflict back in early 2011. And there hasn't been very much response at all from the international community. And so it's again, difficult, I think, to understand why this constitutes an outrage, but the previous actions of the regime did not.
Would you say the policy of the administration right now is to maintain a stalemate in Syria? And does that have strategic advantages, essentially contain what's going on here?
I think it's been more, frankly, avoidance. I think the administration has sought to avoid American entanglement in Syria because they see it as essentially a quagmire that could turn into another Iraq. And I think this has been most obvious in the statements not of President Obama or Secretary Kerry, but of our military leadership. Remember that General Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, addressed the question of a limited cruise missile strike on Syria recently in a letter to Congress. And he basically said, look, this would take hundreds of ships and aircraft, it would cost billions of dollars, and it's not clear what it would accomplish. And yet we find that that's exactly what the administration is considering doing now.
What would you do that would constitute, no longer a policy of avoidance that might change the stalemate on the ground? And what sort of coalition could you hope to gather to join you in that?
Well, I think, look, if the objective here is to end the conflict and to bring it to some kind of political resolution, to end the threat not only to American strategic interests in the region, but to end this humanitarian catastrophe that's unfolding, then I think this may be a moment where we might be able to build a diplomatic coalition in the region and around the world to do that. The question of how to do it, I think, is a complicated one, and it involves a multi-part policy. I think you would probably need some kind of external military intervention against the regime to tip the balance of power against it. But given the stage of the conflict that we're at and the power of the jihadists among the opposition, you would also need to try to change the balance of power within the opposition against the jihadists, which means a very serious effort to strengthen the secular opposition. I think that even if you can accomplish this, I think it would be hard, but even if you can accomplish this, that whatever government results in Damascus, whether by political solution or some other effort, would still be fighting for quite some time against the jihadists that now are pretty firmly ensconced in Syria.
Well, vetting the opposition is a quagmire, as you describe, or would possibly be a quagmire, as you describe it. And geostrategically, if we think about the region, next stop after Syria is Iran. Do you believe that's one of the constraints, that the U.S. would undoubtedly be confronting Iran if it intervened here?
Well, I think there are two ways of looking at this. I think there are some, and probably this is true in the Pentagon, who worry that getting involved in Syria, especially in an open-ended way, would divert resources that we need to have available in case there's a conflict with Iran. Remember, it's also taking place against the backdrop of a so-called pivot to Asia, where we're trying to shift our security resources, which are increasingly limited, to that continent. I think others, though, might say, and I think there is some legitimacy to this, that taking action in Syria quite firmly would send a message to the Iranians, especially because the Iranians are so deeply engaged in Syria, and might enhance the credibility of U.S. military threats against the Iranian regime.
Michael Singh is former senior director for Middle East Affairs at the National Security Council, now managing director at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Michael Singh, thanks so much.
Thank you.